Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
I have to say, we got a little excited when we heard that there would be a new program on Peacock celebrating the third most popular program on NPR. I mean, not to brag or anything, but that's kind of us. Anywho, then we found out In the Know features a neurotic, white, politically correct gas bag host named Lauren Caspian, an animated character like his NPR co-workers, voiced by Zach Woods, who interviews real-life stars like Black comedian actor Nicole Byer, who here makes a reference to the game Bop It, where you whack things. Lauren agrees.
Yes, exactly. When there's those rodents that appear and you bop them with the mallet, is that right?
No, I meant the toy, like bop it, twist it, pull it.
Whack-a-mole.
No, it's called Bop It. You know, it's like a game. It's a black thing. It says Bop It in the middle.
And it's then a black thing. That's why I don't understand. And I would never appropriate the culture. Bop It. It's like hip-hop it and bop it. And this is a black thing. And I would never deign to enter into that cultural space unless invited.
Okay, mock him. But aren't we, sorry, isn't he just trying to be respectful? Or are we, is he, just being smugly holier than thou? Gack. The show was created by Mike Judge of Beavis and Butthead fame, Brandon Gardner of the Upright Citizens Brigade, and Zach Woods of The Office. I think we have Zach and Brandon.
This is Brandon.
Do we have the other?
Hi, Robin, and this is Zach.
Oh, the other traitor. Oh, hi. How are you?
A couple of Benedict Arnolds.
Oh, my goodness. No white liberal stereotype is left behind.
Your personal Judas. I apologize. If it's any consolation, like the actual Judas, I live in hell of my own making.
I am a little self-conscious right now. I have to say, Zach, I laughed out loud when your character, Lauren, says he spells women with a Y. I actually had a show in the 70s called Womenkind, Two Ys.
That's amazing. Well, something that didn't make it into the show was that Lauren used to co-host a feminist radio show where he showed his support by never speaking on the radio show with his female co-host. So she had to do all the work, although he was paid the same.
I've listened to some of your other interviews with NPR hosts. How are you feeling?
I've enjoyed them all. I think everyone has been very gracious with us, has sort of accepted that.
Of course we have.
Exactly. And I think most people have sort of accepted that we're not really accurately portraying NPR, and well, they sort of let that go.
Well, in some ways, you know, maybe you kind of are. Look, this is like therapy for us to hear why people think we're so groveling and overly polite, and then we agree and apologize. You know, we have hair shirts with the NPR logo on it. We know, in an attempt to try to, you know, do the right thing, sometimes we arm wrestle ourselves.
Yeah, I think we don't feel that we are separate from the characters we're depicting. I think we're using NPR kind of as a framing device for satire pointed at people like Brandon and I, who are these hypocrites, basically. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a kind of performative or maybe even a sincere progressivism that isn't really carried out. There's a lot of fun to be had in the distance between people as they describe themselves and think of themselves and people as they are.
Okay, so this is about you, not us.
I mean, one of the things about narcissism is that everything is about you. And so, yes.
Again, here's your character, Lauren, interviewing boxer Mike Tyson.
Did you ever think in the middle of a bout, I wish I could just look my opponent in the eye and say, I am enough?
I do that when I smash his face.
Interesting.
How much of these, Brandon, are scripted?
The only scripted interview is the one between Fabian, who's a producer on the show, doing a pre-interview with Jorge Masvidal, the MMA fighter, because we had a specific story idea for that. Otherwise, how all the interviews work is I hop on first on Zoom to just ask them to please treat it like a normal NPR interview.
By the way, I have to pick up on Fabian. She also hosts a podcast, Black Lives Matter More.
That's right.
Very police-like on acceptable language. Your character, Lauren, and Fabian literally get into a fight over what to call a man Lauren invites to live in the station. The man is homeless, but that word is not acceptable. Your character wants, what is it?
Unhoused.
Unhoused. Yeah. And Fabian wants
Persons currently without housing.
Right.
You know, we didn't want to just create a kind of liberal straw man, like a...
Straw person.
Just a straw person.
Right.
Thank you. Person currently full of straw. Because it just seems sort of easy and reductive to create a punching bag that's just a collection of stereotypes. And what we tried to do with her is to have her be this punitive, very controlling presence in one way, then in the other way, be someone who has actually been disregarded and dismissed, that sort of explains some of why she feels so armored. Because I think often the people who are the most kind of acidic in the way that they talk are often also writhing inside, quite lonely.
Zach, you know, yes. You just described how NPR hosts approach guests. You know that,
right? Oh, that's interesting.
Everybody's worth celebrating. I mean,
I think that's really probably why I like NPR so much. I mean, for all of our grenades that we try to roll down the hall in your guys' direction, we are huge fans. And I think it's because, but you're describing, there's nuance is valued and complexity is communicated.
Yeah. Where'd you get some of the ideas, Brandon? It feels to us like you have someone on the inside. So a lactation station, even though no one is breastfeeding, and frankly, hopefully no one we've met so far will be allowed to have children.
Right.
An older boss, straight white woman, boring, who is referred to as a boomer witch. Lauren, is sapiosexual? What is that?
Well, he would describe it as someone who's sexually attracted to ideas. And then Fabian, I think, would challenge that because he only dates straight, white, cis women that look like him. I think he's really worried that if he's not interesting in some way, people won't love him.
Yeah. Who is it?
Lauren is a Frankenstein monster made up of pieces of Terry Gross, Ezra Klein, Malcolm Gladwell, Ira Glass, Michael Barbaro, and me and Brandon. It's just this unfortunate stitched together creature. I think something that I sometimes hear in public radio or on podcasts is there's this kind of intellectually naughty quality where it's like, dare I challenge the sacred cows? Like this kind of provocateur vibe where someone's being puckish in an attempt to be maximally fascinating. And that drives me bananas, where it's like, well, everyone agrees that violence is wrong, but what if it isn't? You know, that kind of thing where it's like, let's turn it on its head. I think because I grew up in a very talky family where there's a degree of kind of verbal one-upsmanship. And so I have a real allergy to that. And yet I still do it.
Well, first, I'm pretty sure the NPR hosts on your list are pretty busy up in the firmament of NPR superstars saying, who is that speaking? Have you heard from any of them?
Terry keeps threatening my mom. I think my mother more, like my mother would always be texting me, like, put this in. One of her particular pet peeves, I guess what I'm wondering, that's one that she, and it's funny, when we talked to one of our moles on the inside, they said that public radio listeners would write the most vicious kind of critiques if you used a preposition incorrectly. I would say, whoever's listening, stop sending these verbally abusive notes to the people who work there. Well, what about you? I want to know from you. Like, what do you think? What did we miss?
Stuff that sounds like you aren't actually speaking to someone in the wake of. You wouldn't talk to your friend and say, that came in the wake of. So we're trying not to do that.
Right.
Yeah.
There's like the seriousness of an NPR host, but when they are humorous with each other in a way that feels so stiff, let's show them we can have a little bit of fun.
Like Sweaty Balls, the SNL skit mocking completely repressed NPR cooking show hosts.
Now, what's on your list this holiday season, Margaret Jo?
Well, Terry, I really got greedy this year. I'm asking Kris Kringle for a wooden bowl, some oversized index cards, and a funnel.
Ooh, a funnel. That'll be great for funneling.
I know. I feel like a glutton. It's neat. Santa's fun.
Santa's fun. Neat.
Yeah, it's fun.
Fun. Like good Christmas. Times.
Good times. Neat.
This isn't new, but for some reason, despite this decades of mocking, NPR, it's still here.
It's, I love it. It's valuable and I rely on it. And also maybe it's like the overeducated cockroach in the apocalypse, which you just cannot kill.
Oh, I smell fundraising t-shirt. Zach Woods, Brandon Gardner of In the Know, a takedown or send up of NPR, and we're all watching it like crazy. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We love you. We're sorry. You know, and truly, we do love you. I listen to your show and I love you. And thank you for having us on.
Yeah. It's all right. No, it's sorry. We've broken up.
Oh, no. Take me back. I'll try to find the frequency on my car radio and it'll just be gone. It'll just be a note.
Canceled.
But just for you.